Accumulation, saving for retirement. This is the word we seem to talk about endlessly. Less time is spent on decumulation, using those savings to pay for life once you're no longer earning a paycheck. It can be a pretty complex process, right? Like, which bucket of savings? When am I taking the money out? How much am I taking out? It was so much easier when those rare few had a defined benefit pension plan, but most people don't these days, right? Purpose Investments has launched an Income for Life mutual fund to try and help, tackle some of these issues of long-term income security and probably make some money in the process. Sam Seif is founder and CEO of Purpose. He's here to talk about their longevity pension fund. Hello, Sam.
Hey, Bruce. Good to be here.
Did you put my statistics into the mortality table? Because salaries live forever. You do not want me to buy this. I will bankrupt you.
I'm sure. You know what? You're well structured, and we've been extremely conservative. And so there's lots of room for the salaries in there.
Okay. I'm glad to hear it. What is the unmet consumer need? Why did you decide to launch this thing?
Well, look, I think you actually explained it quite well at the beginning, which is we've got two really important problems. People are demographically turning 65, more and more Canadians every single day. Over 1,000 Canadians turn 65. I don't know if people actually know that statistics, but it's pretty daunting when you look at it that way. Turn 65 every single day. And second is, people are living longer. Life expectancy is increasing. It's been continuously increasing. And, so the challenge is that most people would get into retirement where they have to solve their income needs by themselves. At that stage, and most people would think, I've got 5 or 10 more years. But reality is most people are living on average, another 13 to 15 years. And that's extending. So not only you're solving for, your income needs, but you're also having it with an imperfect set of information. Mm. While at the same time, like the bigger, issue is our industry has kind of retrenched in solving this problem. So as you put it, number of people covered by defined benefit pension plans in their corporate situations has declined substantially. So in the last 30 years, corporations have kind of moved away from doing this. And so it's a really big issue that is not being solved by our industry.
The one product that is out there that isn't the same, but it's in the same neighborhood, perhaps, is an annuity. How does your fund differ from an annuity?
Yeah. So insurance annuities, and as you know, insurance companies underwrite these, and it's the same principle, which is to give certainty of income that matches your life term. The problem, and I'm actually a big fan of the annuity concept. The problem that most people have is that they don't use them. And why? Because, when they're 65, they have to make a decision buy this fund that is irrevocable. So you can't redeem it. You make the decision and you can't, get out of it. And it's a really hard decision for people to make. So most people avoid it. My opinion is actually, it should be a part of everyone's retirement plan. And so what we've done is actually take the mechanics that an annuity uses and the same mechanics that that a pension plan is designed with, and effectively, but added the concepts of and the benefits of a mutual fund, which is liquidity and access to your capital if and so you need it.
So you use, just on your website, you use $100,000 as an example. A retail investor buys this mutual fund for $100,000, buys $100,000 worth of it, and they get $6,150 per year forever.
Forever being the rest of their life. Yes. And that's exactly right. And so the 6.15%, which is for the 65-year-old. And then as age goes up, actually it's increases. So the yield actually gets up to sort of in the sevens as your age is up. And the really important thing is that's matched to your life term. So if you live for 10 years or 20 years or 50 years, you're going to receive that income to match it.
You don't guarantee that return. You chose 6.15. Why didn't you choose 5.79456208%? What was the rationale for 6.15? Are you just being cheeky?
No, it's actually it's a great question, and it's really well designed around balancing two things. One, conservativeness. So we, what's really fascinating about this is the way we've designed it, we only need to generate a net return on the portfolio underlying it at about 3.5%. And that was an important to pay out a 6.15% yield for life. And so, and that has to do with the mechanics of sharing and longevity risk pooling and all the rest of it. So we really balanced an attractive yield while also wanting to take very little risk in the portfolio. We could have gone higher, but you know, we felt that you know, that 3.5% was a really attractive return that that was very achievable and all the rest of it. Your question on guarantees is a really important one. You know, the point is we've chosen not to have it guaranteed for a reason, because actually all the benefit of it not being guaranteed actually means that the investors get all of the upside, not just paying that away. And guarantees are expensive. So the yield would have been lower if we'd guaranteed it. And on top of that is that you wouldn't have had any upside. And in this case, we've actually designed this to have significant income increases over time for investors.
How does that yield change as interest rates change? Or is it a fundamentally different dynamic? Because that's one of the things for, you know, fixed income. Rates are so low these days that the cost benefit on an annuity, for example, it feels out of whack.
Yeah. So first and foremost, it's it isn't you know, per se going to be focused on interest rates in this in any short period of time. You know, so it's not sensitive to interest rates. We actually, the portfolio we manage, that we're not going to be holding a significant amount of like long duration bonds that have a lot of interest rate risks if rates rise and all the rest of it. But what we what I will say is that because of that required return on the portfolio, which is very conservative, if rates actually rise, it we can actually generate even higher returns. And by rate, you know, by doing that, actually we'll be able to increase distributions quite substantially. And so there is a really nice medium to longer term correlation between rates rising and kind of payouts, but it doesn't have an impact on short term.
There are two classes, one for over 65, which it's almost easier for me to imagine, and one for people under 65. Why would somebody be interested in that?
Yeah. So the real innovation here is the decumulation component. So 65 plus. But what we also recognize is that there are lots of people who aren't yet at retirement, but don't have a pension plan. So what we've created is the accumulating class, which is effectively the same thing as a balanced fund. So it's a, you know, you're getting a well-diversified pension style investment product, and it allows you to accumulate just like any other investment fund. But at the time that, you know, that you turn 65, on the month that you turn 65, it will automatically, on a tax-free basis, roll into the decumulation class. So the beauty of it is it gives you a very fluid, well-structured accumulating vehicle. Well, then tax efficiently will also roll into the decumulation class for you. So kind of it provides the kind of pension plan experience for the masses.
What's the ideal age to purchase it? And you can answer this in two ways. One, what you would tell me and all of my listeners. And then secondly, what you would tell your best friend over a beer in the backyard.
Well, look, I mean, I'll tell you the range of people. So I just bought this for my parents just bought it. They're 72, 73 years old, and it's very well structured for them on the decumulation stage. And anyone 65 plus, it's perfect. It's not really great for like the 77, 78, 78, 9-year-old if you haven't used it already, because there's probably really good annuities out there that you can get at that age. But at the same time, I also have just bought this for myself and my wife at 40 plus years old. And why? Because, you know, it's a great thing that we've created a monthly program. We're going to always have our own little, call it mini pension plan. And when we turn 65, it'll give us a basic income that'll be very nice. And that's a very important thing. So I'm actually a big believer that, you know, this is really designed well for anybody, you know, in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, but also, of course, the real rock star thing that we've done here is solved for anyone 65 plus.
Yeah. You have never shied away from having conversations about fees. And it's one of the markers of your leadership in this sector for your career here. I think it's important that we include the fees question. So ETFs are, call it, you know, 0.2%. Average Canadian equity fund is, say, 2.3%. Put this fund into that context.
Yeah. So it's a great question. And look, I'm a big believer that fees matter, but they're not the only thing. So, you know, we've always been really strong around conscious around giving attractive returns and products for attractive fees. So this is actually priced at 0.6%. And that's a really, really attractive fee when you sort of look at it in the context of two things. One is, of course, relative to, you know, mutual funds and costs like that, average balance funds, it's much higher. But the second thing is actually look at it in the context of a large pension plan like CPP or teachers. The CPP's cost to run it is actually over 1%, as most people may or may not know. And so we've actually done something really unique by pricing this extremely well and, you know, write down the balance of what I think is going to provide a great outcome.
Ian McGugin put a few thoughts down in a Globe article, including a quote from Dan Hallett saying, "Someone in the decumulation stage of their life should view investing in this product as effectively a one-way street." Question about flexibility. How do you take that comment?
You know, it's a good question, a good comment, and it's important to understand. So what we've created is an ability to buy this, you know, just like a mutual fund. You can redeem it, you can buy it, you know, now and over time. But at the same time, once you get into decumulations phase, the redemption is different than a traditional fund. And this is what actually is what the secret sauce in this is. You know, by sharing everybody together, what you're creating is you get the access to your unpaid capital, not the net asset value. So if, let's say you put in, you used $100,000, you get $20,000 in distributions. And then you say, hey, I want to redeem because I have a life event. I want to, you know, I have a healthcare issue I want to deal with. Your redemption value is the kind of 100,000 minus the 20,000 you received. So $80,000. What remains in the pool for the benefit of all the other survivors. And that's the same, by the way, if you pass away or if you redeem, it's the same concept, is the all the returns on that money. And so that's what makes this really work, is by sharing the risk and sharing the returns, you effectively make sure that everyone has better access to an income stream for life. But the liquidity flexibility that we provided does have a you don't get your NAV, you get your unpaid capital. And that's an important point. And that's where I think where Dan's comment was, it doesn't, but go back to the earliest question, which is look at it against an annuity. In an annuity, you don't even have access to the capital. You make that decision. And let's say something changes in 2 years or 5 years, you don't get your money back.
I'm going to ask you to oversimplify a rule of thumb on asset allocation. So when you look at the underlying investments, you've got, you know, equity in there, alternatives, fixed income, whatever. For a retail investor, what percentage of their portfolio should this be, and where, how should they think about it? Is this fixed income given how much equity there is in there? You have 1 minute for my final question.
Yeah, look, so the portfolio is managed like a pension plan. We've taken cues from, you know, we have an investor in OMERS in our portfolio. We have teachers and CPP who we admire. So it's managed like a pension plan. That's the key thing. It's all about risk and liability management. In terms of how it fits into a portfolio, it really depends on a basic thing. What is it you're looking to solve for your income needs? The way I look at it as is take your non-discretionary spends, your housing, your medical, your food, your transportation costs, and annuitize them using longevity. And then all the remaining capital could be used for your discretionary spending. And in good years, you can take that trip. You can go spend the money on those gifts. But in bad years, you don't need to draw on that. And that's what this is all about.
Very interesting stuff. Saum, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Saum Sy, founder and CEO of Purpose Investments. He was here to talk about the Longevity Pension Fund.